Once again, I'd like to say a happy Father's Day to all the dads that are here with us today. And I thought in honor of Father's Day, I don't get to do this very often, I would give you a few dad jokes. Are you ready? A couple dad jokes. You ready? When does a dad joke become a dad joke? When it becomes apparent. Whoa. What did the daddy buffalo say to his son as he left for school? Bye, son. I told you they were dad jokes, right? What did the mother bullet say to the daddy bullet? We're going to have a BB. Four men were outside the delivery room in the waiting room. And as they were out there waiting, the nurse came out to the first gentleman and says, "Congratulations, you've just had twins." He said, "That's funny. I work for the Minnesota Twins." She came out a few minutes later and she said to the next gentleman, she said, "Your wife just had triplets." He said, "That's funny. I work for 3M. Few more minutes goes by, the nurse comes out again to the next guy and says, "Congratulations, you've had quadruplets." To which the man said, "That's funny, I work for Four Seasons Hotel." Meanwhile, the last guy's banging his head against the wall and the nurse went over to him and said, "Are you all right?" He said, "I don't know, I work for 7-Up. Seven up. Quite often, the pattern of church culture is that on Mother's Day, there is some kind of teaching or sermon delivered to extol the values of being a mother and the gratitude that we all have for moms. And then on Father's Day, quite often, you'll hear a sermon telling men how bad they have fallen short of their responsibilities. I just want to say we're not going to do that here this morning, if that's okay. Because we do that, the church does that, and then we wonder why there are no men in church. Right? I am so thankful for every man who is here today. I don't want just fathers to stand. I want every man to stand that is here this morning. Look around. Look around. There are a lot of men here this morning. Guys, thank you for being here. Thank you for showing up. I want to call what I share with you this morning the legacy of fatherhood. The legacy of fatherhood. There are multiple definitions for the word legacy in the dictionary. The first definition you will find, if you would turn there, would have to do with stuff or property that we might pass on at our demise. Well, more often than not, we refer to that as an inheritance, but it can be a definition of legacy. The second definition you will find is when someone is given special treatment because of a relative that maybe had gone before them in a particular organization. For example, you might someone might get into a college because their parent attended that school, or a particular club at college because their parent had been a part of that particular club. That is the second definition for the word legacy. But the definition I would like to point you towards this morning is the idea that something gets transferred or transmitted by those from our past. In other words, someone leaves us a legacy, not of temporal things, but of the unseen things. So I've given you a definition, the idea of something transferred by or received from an ancestor or predecessor from the past. Now, we are familiar with the notion of people, or particularly fathers, ordering their lives in such a way that they are able to leave a temporal legacy to their children. In other words, they have saved some stuff or saved some money and have done so that at the end of their particular journey, there is something to bequeath to their children. We're familiar with that. Some are privileged enough to be able to do that, and that's a good thing. That is a selfless act. The fact that I would not consume everything upon myself, but I would leave behind a legacy or an inheritance that might get transferred to my children or the next generation. But what I want to focus for a moment on this morning is that in a very real sense, you and I as fathers have the opportunity to leave a spiritual legacy to our children. Not something we've saved up, but rather something we have lived out. You know, we put all of our eggs in the what can we save up? And I would suggest to you this morning, it's more important what you live out than what you save up. What gets transferred to our children generationally is very, very, very important. The spiritual legacy. We have an enormous privilege and responsibility to leave a spiritual legacy for our children. I want to point out that when God approached Moses at the burning bush, he referred to himself as he was talking to Moses, "I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." Three generations of, that's how God chose to refer to himself. He referred to himself generationally. He referred to himself in such a way that gives us an understanding that he supports and even comes into this notion of transference in terms of generational transfer or spiritual legacy. What happened there in that instance, in God referring to himself in that way, is he was supporting the fact that the covenant that he made to Abraham, which was a spiritual covenant, ended up getting transferred to Isaac, and then following that, Jacob. We also know, we can read in the New Testament, where when Paul was writing to Timothy, his son in the faith, he referenced the people before him and how they had lived a life of faith, and how that life of faith had ended up getting transferred or passed down, if you will, to Timothy. Too often, when the idea of generational transfer gets talked about, it gets talked about in a negative way. For example, here's how it usually works. We see some negative traits manifested in our children, in us, as even as adults, and we say things like this. We say, "You're just like your You're just like your father. And we usually do that when we're talking about what we might call negative transfer. Like something's going on, anger or, you know, uncommunicative, things like that. And we say, you're just like your dad. You're just like your father. And while it is impossible to ignore the fact that some stuff does get transferred that's not good, in my relationship with my dad, there is so much good that got transferred from my father. But there, my wife lives with me. She knows there are some other stuff that I wish would have gotten left out of the transfer, right? Some stuff. On a very nominal point, not to bring up negative stuff, but I find myself sometimes doing things, and like for instance, the other day I was sitting on the edge of my chair with my arms crossed, just like this. And I'm watching the television set, and as I'm sitting there doing that, I'm thinking to myself, I'm doing just what my dad does, right? I'm same posture, same pose, and here I am. I am my dad, right? Now, that's a very nominal type example, but there's no doubt that things definitely get transmitted from one generation to the next generation. But what I want to focus on is the fact that we seem to always notice the negative things. But I want to say to us this morning, just as those things can get transferred, so too can some good godly traits to our children. Now, if there were one thing, as me as a dad, if there's one thing that I would say is the overarching thing that I would like to get passed from my life to my children's life, is a vibrant relationship with God. A vibrant relationship with God. An alive relationship with God. If there's one thing, more than money, more than my mannerisms, more than my negative traits, if there was one thing that I would like to see my children possess as a transference from me to them, it would be a vibrant relationship with God. I know that there are many of you as fathers here today, because I've talked with you, that you carry the same burden to see your kids have a healthy relationship with Jesus. I know that. And I want to say to all of us, I know you are trying to live that out, but I also want to just point out that you could leave that legacy, but we all realize here this morning that they have to purpose in their heart to go after God themselves, right? We all know that, right? We all know that. Now, this morning, what I'd like to do for the brief moments that I have is I would like to give us as dads a target to aim at. Something I always find I do better if I have something in front of me to kind of show me the way. So this morning, I want to double back, and I want to go back to the passage that Pastor Scott spent some time with us in last week. By the way, I was ministered to greatly by the things Scott shared last week. He did an awesome, awesome, awesome job. And I went to him this week and I said, Scott, I'm going to double back and I hope you won't be offended. He said, no, I'm honored that you would go back to a passage that I talked about last week. But I just want to say to all of you, I am not trying to one-up Scott this week. I felt like he gave us some awesome insight about some things last week. But there's a reason why I want to double back to Proverbs chapter 3. Because of the context that what Scott talked to us about last week, we are given a context right in the very first two words of verse 1 of chapter 3. Solomon says in chapter 3, verse 1, here's the first two words, my son. My son. This, what he is about to say, is coming from a father's heart. It's coming out of his desire to see his kids have a vibrant relationship with God. And after he gives us that brief introduction, my son, he says, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart. We see him laying forth the groundwork for his son, his children, laying forth the groundwork so that they can live a blessed life. And the first thing he says is, don't forget what I'm telling you. Our minds, at least my mind, and it's getting worse, our minds tend to forget. Does your mind forget? Here's how bad it's gotten in my life, all right? I have to write everything down. If I don't write it down, I'm in trouble. I'm out to lunch, right? But here's how bad it is. I write it down, and I have my things to not forget, and then I forget the list. It's horrible. It's absolutely horrible. I will lay the list on the bench we have that I can't miss it on the way out the door. I get halfway to town and say, I walk by the list. I forgot the list, right? Our minds tend to forget. But here's what doesn't forget: our hearts. Our hearts don't forget. I counsel a lot of people, and I have people bringing stuff up from 40 years ago. Not because it's in their heart. You will not forget. Listen, it's important. You will not forget what you're passionate about. You won't. Because it's in your heart. What this father is saying to this son, what we as dads should be focusing on with our children, is talking to them about the things that matter most in life. We should be passionate about those things. We shouldn't be forgetting about those things. Like if you read this, you will find out that with each thing he reminds his child about, he says, along with that comes a blessing. He set it up in such a way, if you don't forget this, this is the blessing that's in store for your life. So the first place we start in conveying to our children the legacy we would want to leave them is we tell them clearly, we want you to live a blessed life. Every dad in here, every father in here wants his child to live a blessed life. But we need to convey that to them. You could say as a dad, well, of course I do. But we need to convey that to them. We need to say to them, I want you to have a blessed life, a blessed by God life. I'm telling you these things because the fruit of these things is a blessed life. And I want you to have a blessed life. You know, people will often say to me, how do you feel about this, that, or the other thing? And a lot of things, a lot of categories that we get into aren't going to affect your eternal security, right? They aren't going to affect that. But they may very indeed affect the blessing of God on your life. And so I say to people, well, that depends on whether you want to live a blessed life or not. I want to live a blessed life. I want my children to live a blessed life. having the favor of God on our lives, seeing the work of God go forth in our lives. And to do that, Solomon says, here are the things that you need to consider, things to never forget. Verse 3, he says this, let love and faithfulness never leave you. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck and write them on the tablet of your heart. Let me paraphrase that for you. Make them your passion. Love and faithfulness. If I were to say to you as men today, what are two huge things you could do towards your children to cement your spiritual legacy, let love and faithfulness be your passion. Bind them around your neck. Different translations render them differently. Some translations say kindness and truth. Some say mercy and truth. Some say love and loyalty. If you were to take the two Greek words, take their definitions, and cement them together, this is what you would come up with. You would come up with this saying, bind a reliable life of compassionate activity around your neck. A reliable life of compassionate activity. Bind them around your neck. That means in my loving of God and my loving of others, I am consistently exhibiting a heart of kindness. Listen to me. As a father, as men, we will leave a legacy. There's no doubt about it. That is a fact. That will not change. I've done a lot of funerals and people get talked about, right? The issue is, what do you want them to say about you? And I'm suggesting this morning, this is really good advice. And he starts with leaving a legacy of reliable, charitable expression towards people around you. He says, bind them around your neck. Back in the 70s and 80s, there was a fashion statement back then, I don't see it hardly anymore, that women used to wear called a choker. Do you know what I'm talking about? It was a tight piece of cloth or some kind of necklace that was worn around the area of the throat, okay? There was this a fashion article that people wore called a choker. If you were to go and study this idea of binding something around your neck, that's exactly the word picture that the Hebrews would have had. And there's a reason for that. They saw the neck as the housing of the throat and the housing of the artery that led from the heart to the head. Are you with me? They believed that the neck represented the words that we speak and the beat of our heart. Let me go back now to that admonition. Let love and compassion never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Let the words you speak and the beat of your heart convey to people kindness and love. Amen. You can be, listen, so he could have said, bind toughness and ruggedness around your neck. He didn't. He said, I'm speaking to you as a father to a son. If you want the blessing of God on your life, bind love and compassion around your neck. Let them never, ever leave you. Never leave you. In this, he gives us the blessing. Here's the blessing. The blessing is they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. I don't know any man who doesn't like the idea of being prosperous. None. I don't know anybody that likes being poor. In this blessing, he is talking about both the quantity and quality of life. On the whole, it is statistically true that people who follow after God live longer and are happier people. Amen. Don't forget my teaching. Bind love and faithfulness. Never let them leave you. Put them on the tablet of your heart. Now, he gives the next admonition. He says, this is the one that Pastor Scott talked to us about last week. Verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. This father was exhorting his son to have an unshakable confidence in God. Love and faithfulness, an unshakable confidence in God. That God, to have in your heart that God is large and in charge. After exhorting him to trust, he cautions his son not to lean on his own understanding. There is a great word picture for us in this, and it's found multiple times in the Old Testament. The word picture is this. When a king was making decisions for his kingdom, he would surround himself with men of wisdom. And when there was a difficult decision to be made about the affairs of his kingdom, the king, listen, as he had these guys right behind him, the king sitting on his throne would literally lean back to hear what they would tell him. This father says to his son, don't lean in to your own understanding. He's in a way suggesting, surround yourself with people of wisdom who can help you navigate the testing times of life. Don't just lean into what you think. Look to those who you've surrounded yourself with and gain insight and understanding from them. And then he says, in all your ways, acknowledge him. There are two sides to this acknowledge thing. The first side is to live with an understanding that God is real. God is for real. Right? We happen to be living during a time when the reality of God is being questioned, undermined. If you observe closely, most people do not live like the reality of God has any meaningful impact on their lives. They live absence from the reality of God. When Solomon says to his son, in all your ways acknowledge him, the first thing he's saying to his son, live in such a way, order your life in such a way that you actually believe there is a God. That you believe that he exists and that he is involved in the affairs of your lives. But there's this other side of acknowledging God, which has to do with giving credit where credit is due. A lot of times when people are given an award, They will stand up to a podium or someplace, and they will quite often say, the first thing that I want to do is acknowledge some people that are here today that have helped me get to the point of being able to receive this award. And then they talk about sometimes their parents or a teacher or, you know, some person in their life that has benefited them in some way that they're acknowledging, right? They're giving credit where credit is due. Solomon says, listen, you need to have an unshakable confidence in God. You need to not trust just what you think, but surround yourself with people who will help you deduct wisdom, right? He said, but then you need to give God credit whenever you can. Acknowledge the fact that you haven't done life on your own ability. It's with God's help that you have gotten to the point that you're at. Acknowledge Him. Acknowledge Him. Acknowledge Him. Don't trust in yourself. Trust in God. Acknowledge Him and don't lean on your own wisdom alone. The blessing that comes with that, here it is. The blessing is when we trust God, when we surround ourselves with people who know some things, and we acknowledge God that He's been a help in my life. He says, you know the rest of the verse, He says He will direct your paths and make your paths straight. What that means is He will make life more doable for you. More doable. In other words, if you're going to have a go of it on your own, the mountain is going to feel like this. But if you trust God, don't lean on your own insight and understanding, and acknowledge God, God has a way of flattening the curve. He has a way of causing you to do life without extreme exertion, right? He makes things a little flatter for you to get by. Then in verse 7, as a father to his son, he said, do not be wise in your own eyes. I put it in my notes this way. Don't live like you know it all. Don't be a know-it-all. You know, I know some very men who are like that, right? They know everything. They know everything about things they don't even know about, right? Just ask them and they'll tell you, right? And I know men who actually speak this stuff out verbally. And you know, they're sometimes difficult to be around. But then I know guys who maybe aren't very audible with their thoughts and feelings, but I know in their heart they still think they know it all. They just don't say it. They don't need help. They don't need anybody else's advice. Nobody else, you know, they got it figured out. Solomon says to his son, don't be like that. Don't be a know-it-all. Realize you are learning things every single solitary day. There's not a day that goes by that something will not come new to you. The next part, he says, fear the Lord and shun evil. I like the way the Message translation says it. It says, run to God and run away from evil. The blessing attached to that admonition is health and vitality in your body, soul, and spirit. And then finally, verse 9, I'm ending now. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. When especially us as men, live in such a way that the Lord figures into our finances, you know He has your heart. Right? We're all about, my wife says, the only time you get upset, it seems like, is when we're talking about money. Most men I know, money has value to them, right? Most men. And when we incorporate, when we bring the Lord into that financial realm of our lives, and we begin to see the value of sowing into his kingdom, you know God has got our hearts. We're in. When the money is in. Now, I say all that to say to you, this is, by the way, the blessing with that, when we honor God with our wealth, with the first fruits of our crop, the blessing is more financial blessing. And if you've lived like that, you know that to be true. If you made God a priority in your finances, you know that the blessing just keeps coming. Here it comes, more and more and more. All right. So a father gives this wise counsel to his son. And it's good for us to tell our children as fathers what matters most. There's no doubt about it. But if we're only telling them that and not living these values ourselves, it still won't be our legacy. It won't be our legacy. What becomes our legacy is how we live out our lives. That's what people remember. I wish I could say, you know, when you leave here today, if I quiz you on Wednesday, you'll remember what I talked about here today. You probably won't because we had an ambulance show up and so forth and so on. That'll be the talk of the day. I know that. I already know that. But even if it was a normal week and I said, do you remember what I said on Wednesday? Most men would probably have to confess, I'll take the fifth. I don't remember what you said. You know what? There's weeks that I, as pastor, by Wednesday can't remember what I said to you. So don't feel bad about that. Don't feel bad. But I will remember the things that matter most. I will remember that. And it is my heart as a father, not only for my children, but for some spiritual children, my heart is not to just talk about these things. My heart is to live these things out, to see them lived out in my life, to see my life, to see myself living in a faithful and compassionate way, to see myself trusting God, not leaning on my own, and acknowledging God with my life. When that becomes the norm, the beat of my heart, the breath that comes out of my lips, this will be the legacy that you leave to your children. It will be. You will leave a legacy. The question becomes, what legacy will we leave them? But when we live in a way that they see us running after God, running away from evil, when they see me not thinking I know it all, but reaching out to others for wisdom and understanding, when I live in such a way that I don't think of myself more highly than I ought, my prayer, my hope is that when I get to the end of the journey, When those are talking about me after I'm done, when we have a time of remembrance for me as a dad, I'm praying and hoping my children will stand up and say, you know what? He never let love and compassion let go of his life. He trusted God with his life. He didn't carry himself like he knew it all. That's the legacy that I hope to leave to my children. Not because I've told them that, but because I've tried to live it out. Dads, I want to pray for you this morning. I want to pray that God would give you the spiritual know-how, the spiritual ability, the spiritual want to do the things that matter most. I am thankful if you're here as a dad this morning, and you want to leave your kids a nice inheritance, God bless you. Thank God for that. That's a good thing. But more importantly, that you would leave them a lasting legacy of what matters most spiritually. So dads, I'm going to ask you to just stand wherever you're at. Please stand. And maybe you would be so willing this morning to receive an impartation. That's what Solomon just gave to his son. He just gave him an impartation of wisdom. From this point forward in the book of Proverbs, for the rest of chapter 3 and the remaining chapters, the things that I just talked to you about, he calls wisdom. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Wisdom. Let trusting in the Lord, leaning not on your own understanding, acknowledging God, that's wisdom. All of these things that he just talked about, honoring God with our wealth, that's wisdom. And from this point forward, he's just going to use the word wisdom. But if you were to take all of these things and kind of bundle them up, you would call it, Solomon calls it, wisdom. This morning, would you receive an impartation from me, from God, to your life? Maybe if you will, I know some of you aren't accustomed to this, but maybe you could just do it. Maybe if it's awkward for you, you could just do a little cup like this, just a little cup. Maybe some of you got a bigger cup like this, and then some of you are just got a vat there. You got your keg. You got your keg. There you are. You got the keg. Cup, bigger cup, keg. Maybe you could just receive from God this morning. Now, Father, I want to pray for these dads among us this morning. I know. It's not an easy road, Lord. Being a dad, trying to work and trying to be there emotionally and physically and all those ways for our children, whether young or grown, Lord. Sometimes it's just not easy. But I pray for a release from heaven today to these men who are standing here. First of all, I just simply bless them in Jesus' name. I pray fresh blessing on their life, Lord. I pray that they would receive from you today just a fresh outpouring of your grace. Grace for life, Lord. Grace for fathering today in Jesus' name. But Lord, as we hold out our hands to you, this is a pipe dream. This that Solomon talked about is a pipe dream. It's a figment of our imagination if you don't give us the wherewithal to do it. So I pray it would start with a want, that as men we would want to have love and faithfulness around our neck, that we would want to trust you and lean not on our own understanding, that we would want to fear God and shun evil, and that we would want to honor you with our wealth. Give us that want, Lord. Put it in our hearts. And then, Lord, after we have the desire, we know desire gives birth. And I pray for a birthing in each of our hearts as men. A birthing in our lives in practical ways, Lord, toward our children, and towards the people in our lives. Help us to be godly examples of what you're like. Rather than thinking of our own legacy and what people may say to us, may we be more concerned about the legacy we leave behind and what our children and our grandchildren and our friends and our neighbors, what they will be saying about our lives. Help us to leave a lasting legacy, a good one. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.